Zealous for the Lord's Church is the title of the message. As I mentioned earlier, we'll start a study through the book of Galatians. We'll read verses 1 through 5 this morning. We won't go through these verses. Just kind of want to give, I wouldn't call it an overview, but just some things about Galatians and the Apostle Paul and how this come about, this book here. So let's read verses 1 through 5, Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord help us. So as I mentioned, today we'll start this study verse by verse through the book of Galatians. And y'all know why we go verse by verse. I think it's biblical. We don't skip anything. Amen. We deal with it even if we don't like it. Are there some things in the Bible that y'all don't like? Yeah. But guess what? We still got to study. We still got to learn it. We still got to know it. And knowing this, we learn truth. Truth, what is truth? Truth sets us free. Is that not what Christ said? The truth shall make you free. Galatia was located in modern-day Turkey. In Acts 13 through 14, we read where Paul and those with him traveled to the southern parts of Galatia. And some of these cities may sound familiar to you. Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. These are some cities that were in the southern part of Galatia. Asia Minor, we could say that also. And there's much debate, as I've been reading and listening to different theologians, there's much debate as to which region this letter was written to. Was it written to the northern and southern region? Was it just to the northern or the southern region? And one of the reasons there's much debate is because that determines the timeline that this was written. Because on Paul's first missionary journey, it is we know that he went through the southern region of Galatia, of Asia Minor. And it's supposed on the second and third missionary journeys, he went further north into Galatia. So if it was written to those in the north or after his second and third missionary journeys, it would be later. But these disagreements, these debates, we'll leave alone. We'll let the scholars fight about all that. Amen. One thing we do know is that this letter was written to the churches of Galatia. Look in verse 2. Unto the churches, it says in the end of verse 2, of Galatia. So this is a circulatory letter that was written to go around to these different churches. And in this letter, we see the zeal of Paul. We see Paul's passion. Though he is compassionate, we see passion here. We also see anger here. We see that Paul is fiery. He is uncompromising in his stance on the Word of God. I know in our day and age that we live in the snowflake age, and it drives me crazy. I promise you, I don't want to get on that a whole lot. But people are offended by everything, and if you are viewed as uncompromising, then you're viewed as hard and rigid, and they call you different names. But listen, folks, when it comes to the Word of God, we cannot be compromisers. We've got to stick with what the Word of God says, and don't change it. Don't be a people pleaser. And Paul was not a people pleaser. Something else we see here is Paul's hatred. Let me add this here, that Galatians is an epistle written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we see Paul's hatred, we also see God's hatred. What does God hate in this book? God hates heresies and the heretic. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5 tells us that God hates sinners. And therefore, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, who is the one who came and died the death that we deserved and made peace between us and God. In Galatians chapter 1, look in verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Listen, when Paul gets here to verse 6, he's already got the gloves off in verses 2 through 5, okay? In verse 6, he starts getting it with them. I mean, there's no playing around. There's no bumping the shoulders to who's tough, and no pushing, going on, no name calling. Paul just comes in and starts hitting them. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some, notice this, that trouble you. There were troubles in the present tense. What are they doing? They are continually, they are repeatedly troubling the Galatians. Listen, folks, heresies are all around. And the heretics are around this world. And it's continuously, there's a continuous attack against the Lord's church. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, notice this, let him be what? Cursed. As we said before, so say it I now again, if any man, any person preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Do you see Paul's hatred here for the heretics? I was going to print some stuff out to bring this morning, but I noticed that our printer is low on black ink, which that will be taken care of tomorrow morning, first thing when Taylor gets to the office. Amen. And I'll print out some things about modern-day heretics. What's sad is that people would rather be told what to believe than to actually study it to find out for themselves. We do have a lazy generation around us, don't we? And if someone says something that sounds good, or it's got a good ring to it, then they'll want to repeat it and they'll take it as truth. Now listen, folks, heretics know these things. And they know how to get to people. That's why it's so important that we do know the truth. Look in chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. The same thought here about Paul's hatred for heresies, the false teachings and the false teachers. In verse 7, he said, ye did run well. What happened? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, it's not of God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you, though, through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. We've learned in the book of James that not to be many teachers, right? The greater judgment. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Look at verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. This word cut off, you know what it means? Mutilated. He said, I would that they were even mutilated. Again, that word trouble, it's in the present tense. It's continuously, it's repeatedly. Listen, Paul, why would Paul hate heresy so much? And why would Paul stand against heretics so much? Should he be more loving? Should he be compassionate to these heretics and their heresies? I mean, let's find some common ground. Why does Paul not do that? He says here, a little leaven does what? Leaven the whole lump. Again, Paul was uncompromising. And you and I must be uncompromising also when it comes to the Word of God. Are there different things that we like? Yes. How many of y'all's favorite color is green? Raise your hand. How many of y'all's favorite color is blue? Purple, red, black. Can we compromise on those things? I like yellow, you like blue, put it together, what do you get? Green. That's something simple. How about Ford, Chevys? I mean, clothes. Type of music, and I mean all glorifying God music, whether it's whatever it may be. We can compromise on those things in life in general. But we can't compromise the Word of God. Because when you do, you let things in the church that's going to corrupt the church. It's going to corrupt the teaching of the church. And it's going to erode away the foundation. And then what are you going to have? You'll have a boiling pot of trouble. 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 Galatians is an epistle of rebuke. In this epistle, we again see his love for the Lord and Paul's love for the church. Paul was hard on them. But that's because he loves them. Paul was a church planter and a church protector. He had the heart of a pastor. And because Paul loved, he told the truth, even if it hurt. And I said this a while ago, why? Because truth sets us free. Lies put us in bondage. And that's what these Judaizers were doing. They were putting people back into bondage. You can't do this, you can't do that, or you have to do this or have to do that, or you're not right with the Lord, or you're not even saved. But truth sets us free. These Judaizers were a group of people that believed that you were not a Christian unless you submitted to the Jewish ordinance of circumcision and kept the law. What were they saying? Basically, that you had to earn God's grace. You had to earn God's grace. That doesn't make sense, does it? Excuse me. Earning God's grace makes grace no more grace, is what Paul says. For them, Christ was not enough. It was always Christ plus something. And that's what you'll find with heresies and the heretics that teach them. It's always Christ plus something. Always adding to it. And they always want you to think that they are one up on you. They're more spiritual than you are. They have something you don't have, so you must want what they have. And often it comes back to money, power, and control. Heresies and heretics always take away from Christ by adding works for salvation. Paul makes it clear in verse 16 of chapter 2 that no one can be saved by keeping the law. Look what it says, 16:2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. How much plainer can you get? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Excuse me. Now we got to understand that there are heretics spreading heresies in every age. Always has been. There's always been deception. They capitalize on the ignorance of others, which is why it's important that we raise our children up, that we teach them the Word of God. I love our 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. In the back of it, there is a catechism. There's a teaching. And we've been using that for family devotions, and it's been very good. Very good. Questions. It's got a question and answer thing along with Scripture. And what is it doing? It's grounding our kids in the Scriptures so that they'll know truth. And when you and I know truth, and when we're grounded in truth, when we hear something that's error, we know it automatically, don't we? And we know to either stay away from it or to push back against it. Depends on where we're at, what we're doing. These heretics, again, capitalize on the ignorance of others. and they will use great swelling words. They may be good orators where they have a good speech. They may have a look about them, a charisma that's there that people desire to look at them, to hear them. They tickle the ears of their listeners. And all who follow them are taken captive by them. Again, grace and truth set us free to serve Christ. This is another reason that we should do what Jude says. And Jude, it's got one chapter in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly," y'all know this, "do what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Why? Well, what's going on in Jude's day that this would happen? If y'all remember, we studied this years ago. Peter said the heretics are coming. Paul said in the last days they'll be here. They're coming. And then Jude says this in verse 4. Basically says they are here. He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men," notice this, "turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what heresies and heretics always do. False teachers, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They make merchandise of the gospel. They make merchandise of those whom they are teaching these false teachings to. What is most prevalent in our nation today? What would be the most fastest growing religion, we could say, in our nation? The prosperity gospel. Because it is appealing to the flesh. You give, and God will give to you. Amen. All about you do this and God do this. You limit God when you don't. Does anybody else heads want to just explode when you hear things like that? We talked about this morning in Sunday school. You and I, we don't limit God. God is sovereign. God is all powerful. So they teach and they preach these things. They crept in. They call themselves Christians. And they claim to be part of Christianity, but yet they're not teaching the teachings of the Bible. They don't teach salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Let me add this here. It's easy to stand up here and say all these things. I have a platform on this pulpit. I'm preaching to people who believe the same way I believe, who love the Lord. But understand this, it is not easy to continue to contend for the faith. Because you and I are robed in flesh. Flesh gets tired. Flesh gets worn out. And when we get tired, we find ourselves wanting to compromise, to take some of the load off. But that's something that you don't ever see with Paul. Amen? I can't in my mind think of one time, maybe y'all can tell me later, where Paul compromised the message of the gospel. Was Paul always right? No, Paul messed up. Read about it. Was he wrong in how he handled John Mark? Yes and no. Did he recognize that later? Yes. Was he wrong when him and Barnabas split? Yes. Yes. Those two mature Christians should have been able to come together and work those things out. So Paul wasn't always right in those things. But where he was right is that he did not compromise the gospel. See, the proponents of these heresies are loud and are appealing to the flesh. And the masses flock to those who are lying to them. And this puts much pressure on those who stand for the truth. See, when you stand for the truth, that means you are a lover of the truth. And since you are a lover of truth, you want others to know the truth. When the Lord first saved you, why was it you was going out Everywhere you was going and beating people on the head with the Bible, telling them about the gospel. You was a new Christian, and you wanted everybody else to know about the one who just saved your soul. Amen. You are a lover of the truth and a lover of people. You love people. How many of y'all want to see someone die and go to hell? I don't. Even these people whom I can't stand with a passion, I don't want to see them die. I'd much rather see the Lord save their soul. Amen. Paul was a lover of truth. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's church. He gave his body. He gave all that he is for others, for the cause of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is, it's one book back from Galatians. Chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll actually read the whole chapter. A long reading. Verse 1 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense and abased myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed of the churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I would do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, or you allow fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I... I'm sorry, y'all. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep. Have you ever been beaten for the cause of Christ? Stoned? Paul was stoned and left for dead. He said in verse 24 of the Jews received 5 times received 40 stripes, save one. People have been known to die from being whipped with a whip with 39 lashes. I'm not going to read the rest of this because I can't. But Paul gave his body. Paul gave his life for the gospel, for the cause of Christ, and, listen, for the Lord's church. Paul loved the Lord's church. He loved the Lord. Who makes up the church? The called. Those whom the Lord has saved. Notice verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, which is what? The care of all the churches. The care of all the churches. It was Paul's desire that the churches would know truth. If you ever notice these epistles, Paul didn't make it about himself, did it? I know here in verse 11, chapter 11 we see him glory, but he says he's glory as a what? As a fool. Glories. He's making a point here. In the book of Philippians, we went through that a couple years ago. He was in prison writing this epistle of joy, this epistle of happiness. How many times did Paul say, hey, y'all come get me? Get me out of here. Oh, in Colossians, what did he say? He said, pray for a door of utterance that I may proclaim the gospel freely. In verse 2 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Truth of the Scriptures keeps our focus on Christ and not on the things of this world. This world is fleeting. It's going to fade away. It's going to melt. Scripture is forever settled in heaven. Scripture is what sanctifies us when we obey the Scripture. It's the cleansing agent. We are washed in the Word, Ephesians tells us. It is the Word whereby, why are we here today? To learn what? The Scriptures. To worship our Lord and Savior, to learn the Scriptures, and that glorifies Him. Why was Paul so zealous for the Lord's church? It's a question I asked myself. Why? What would make a man do what Paul did? You know what? Paul never forgot where he was headed. To a devil's hell. Paul never got over the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ would save someone like Paul. Now, what was it that Paul was doing? Where was Paul headed when Christ interrupted Paul's life? He was on the road to Damascus. He wasn't going on vacation. No, he was going to kill, to destroy, to arrest anyone who was of the way, Christians. He got letters, he got authority from Jerusalem and says, look, I want to go, I want to wipe them out.
I want to kill them all.
And Paul actually thought he was doing God a favor. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," verse 12, "who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," and y'all know this, "of whom I am chief." But we're not going to go there this morning because I can't. My voice is about gone. Acts chapter 8, we find a man named Saul consenting unto the death of a man named Stephen. He held everyone's clothes as they stoned Stephen to death. He was there. He was saying, "Yes, good job, y'all. This is my work. Let's kill them all. Let's get rid of all of them." He was so zealous for those things. And then we know the story in Acts chapter 9. Because of this persecution of Paul and others, the church was scattered abroad. And wherever the church went, they brought the message of the gospel with them. And then Acts 9, Paul's on the hunt. Christ interrupts his life, saves his soul. And immediately, what do you find Paul doing in Damascus? Preaching, teaching, saying for sure this is the Christ. Then Acts 13, we see where Paul was, we could say, sent out from the church, him and Barnabas. So Paul goes from being the persecutor of the church to the protector of the church. Church planner, a church protector. After Christ interrupted Paul's life, he was never the same. And that's one something we can say, can't we? That when Christ saves our souls, it is a lasting change. It is a lasting impact. None of us are perfect, we know that. But we're not who we used to be. And we're not yet who we're going to be. Paul never got over the fact that Christ would save someone like him. And I'm thankful that that Christ does save people like Paul. That Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. We know that there's no one good, right? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We're all deserving of hell. Thank God for His grace and for His mercy to save sinners. And after He saves us, there is an evidence of salvation. Our life is an evidence of a changed life, of the transforming power and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature or new creation. All things have passed, but behold, all things become new." From that day forward, Paul served Christ. And he was a servant to Christ and to the Lord's church. And Paul served Christ until his head was severed from his body. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said this, "I have run," he said, "I finished my course, I've run my race." He gave all for Christ. Uncompromisingly served the Lord. What a great example we have in the Apostle Paul. I've been told many times that I'm not the Apostle Paul. I understand that. I'm not. One time I was told that by my English teacher at Deep South Bible College. She says the one thing she hated most of all was run-on sentences. I raised my hand. I said, "But the Apostle Paul." She said, "You're not the Apostle Paul." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So in her class, I did not write run-on sentences. Amen. And she was really a big help to me, tremendous help. And she did tell me that I need to keep coming back for more classes. She's very truthful, right? Very loving. And she was. Much investments. But Paul was zealous for the Lord's church from the moment Christ saved his soul. May you and I be zealous for the Lord's church. Not just because I'm a pastor. But I can go back and look, even before I was a pastor, I was zealous for the truth. I want to know truth. And I want others to know truth. I think maybe that's one reason that I have a drive to study like I do. And that's all by the grace of God. I'm not boasting to me. But God holds us accountable for what we say, right? We teach. More than likely, most of you will not go home and study what you learned this morning. So I better be telling you the truth. Amen. Thank God for His grace. We'll stop here. And I do apologize that maybe I should have waited another week. I thought it was going to be okay today. But thank y'all for y'all's attention. If you have any questions, let us know. 5 o'clock this evening, we'll be here ready to. If anybody's got any questions about anything, just come back. 5 o'clock this evening, we'll discuss it. Amen. Brother Jeremy's closing in prayer.